Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political, or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Good evening. This is LaVon Breland, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, host of Rhema Remnant Radio. Thank you for listening to tonight. If you're listening by internet and you need to get off the internet for some reason, you can always dial 646-595-4877. Again, that's 646-595-4877. Thank God for His precious word. I want to give you the word real briefly tonight to kind of highlight a topic on leadership. Because I think one of the sovereign directives is to develop a culture of leadership like never before. And, of course, you know, what do I mean by that? I'm going to give you a detailed series, a five-part basic series that has 11 elements to make next year stand apart like a year of no other. We're going to be finishing what we start in 2011. And then by the time the year of divine order comes in, we're going to see the manifestation of order in 2012 like never before. So tonight I want to talk about the anatomy of leadership. I'm going to be coming from the illustration found in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. And such a blessing, you know, today I taught a Bible study on this subject, and I think it's a blessing. I'm going to give you just a glimpse of this at a pretty rapid pace, but I believe you'll get the gist of the story because all of you are ministers of the gospel. I'm going to pray and get right into the lesson tonight, and I pray that those that have an ear will hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, and it is my prayer that something that is said today would awaken your ears and provoke you, and awaken rather the relevance of developing leadership in your church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for the privilege and honor to come before your presence with thanksgiving. It's the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the manifold wisdom of God. I do lean to the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought. I yield my members to obey what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Father, in everything that is accomplished and revealed, you be glorified. Father, you alone are worthy of all the praise. I pray that the anointing on this word would cause the development of leadership to be realized and effectuated in the lives of ministries that hear and apply the word of God to this particular teaching. I was given a task to discuss leadership principles to various ministries to help spark interest of getting the church, awakening the church to the importance of understanding leadership and getting it involved into the body of Christ. We have a culture now that has not truly been trained how to lead. And one of the reasons why, contrary to popular belief, is because we have a counterfeit form of leadership that hangs on the guise of influence, which is our ability to motivate people to do what we want them to do, and we consider that true leadership. But true leadership is deeper than that, and there has to be a study of that is greater, that is giving greater attention to the purposes of leadership. So the purpose of this teaching is to give a clear, concise presentation on the development of leadership within the local church. The goal of this is to suggest principles of wisdom given in the scriptures that will guide us in communicating and crafting a spirit-led culture of leadership within the church. The objective will be to motivate the believer to become an active participant in the kingdom by embodying the characteristics needed to being an effective leader. And so I want to give you a definition of leadership. Leadership exists among them that are distinguished as gifted, talented, and or influential, selected to stand out in front of a team, sect, or group that advances the causes and effects of productivity in a vision, business, or partnership. When you discover an anatomy, it is an investigation on the minor parts that make up a whole. In essence, that which causes something to function and exist in its superior state. Father God has designed the Spirit to connect your leadership ability with the purpose He has predestined for your life. That's why it's important that we study the revelation of predestination. Of course, we are predestined. To those He therefore knew, He did predestinate to be conformed into the image of His Son, according to Romans. And it helps us understand that as we identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an anointing, there's an unction from the Holy One, that we need no one to teach us because of the Holy Ghost that empowers us to take authority over the absence of the thing that affects us in our lives, so that way the kingdom of God can be represented in a microscopic facet here on earth as it is in heaven. And so when we discover this anatomy, this investigation will take place, and it will show how to exist in a superior state. Father God has designed the Spirit to connect our leadership ability with the purpose He has predestined for our lives. We will only lead when we possess the ability to be led by His Spirit as to what authority He has merited for us to be leaders. And it's important, ministers of the gospel, that when you are heads of ministries, that occasionally you develop your leaders through training and instruction. Jesus never sent anyone out that He did not prepare them for the journey, and we must do likewise. Sometimes that's by way of revelation or proclamation of the Word of God. But in either case, whatever way we choose to do it, God will assist us. Of course, He will only lead when you are led by His Spirit as to what authority He has merited for you to be a leader. A leader in God's perspective is one who has mastered the art of serving others in the capacity by which they have been called to serve. And leaders are born leaders because the law of predestination. True leadership is greater than influence. It's authority vested within the heart of a person. Leadership is not merely the ability to influence, but the right to exercise given authority in a matter that validates their efforts to exist in an expected excellence from God. It is the expectation of God for us to reign in this life by that one Jesus Christ. And as we come in contact with Lord Jesus, He will illuminate us to do things. So there are five primary components to the anatomy of leadership that I want you to take with you in this lesson. Number one is a brilliant thinker. This stems from the dependence upon the superiority of the Holy Spirit to reveal the empowerment of excellence that is demanded on us from God. And when we do that, then our heart will be set, number two, for excellence beyond the norm, because we think those things above where Christ is. See, number three, there are abilities to serve, and the better example, somebody has to be willing to serve in the front. And before, there needs to be a willingness to serve, sacrifice time and efforts without recognition. Because a lot of times the delusion of influence is that as long as I'm in the spotlight, I got the goal. Well, just because you're in the spotlight doesn't mean that you have the goal. You could be a fan. And don't get confused with fadism, where you just are in for the season. You look the part, but you're not the part. You got to make sure that you're backed by a system that is higher than you, that validates you what he has authorized you to do. And that should be granted and granted by his Holy Spirit, who causes us to be spiritually driven to lead. And then fourthly, a willingness to sacrifice, fifthly, a love for the work. And they commit their lives to regardless of transitions. Periods of times. What I find often is when the pressure is on, many times leadership that is up there that is based on influence will shut back their responsibilities and shift blame on the state of being. But true leadership take responsibilities for their actions, and they commit their lives to the work regardless of the periods of time that they exist. So I want to leave you with five essential developments needed for the creation of leadership. Within the church community. I think I've developed the culture because it is our culture that we rely on to express how we worship God. And God judges our worship based on our willingness to exemplify the truth and the spirit that we need to know. Number one, we need to be spiritually developed. Developing ears to hear others and eyes to see what the Holy Spirit instructs for us to be successful in life. Number two, we need to be systematically functioning, developing, meaning that we need to establish a sequence of attitudes, behaviors, and choices where we can mature and be known by these primary traits of this personality that we perceive from the Spirit of God. And that's why God reveals to us in Galatians the fruits of the Spirit, so that way we can walk uprightly before him and then exemplify these essential developments in order to develop a culture of leadership within the church. Thirdly, skill setting development, locating personal expertise in the works of your hand and creating knowledge bases that promotes excellence through the works and leadership potential. And then fourthly, there needs to be a sacrificial servitude of styling, isolating the cause of creating effects through creative efforts that bring credit to the cause first, an inward adoration to God, and then a privilege to serve others through our adoration toward God. And fifthly and finally, there needs to be a social communication skills development, knowing how to articulate the visions and purposes that bring out the work efforts, to see that ideologies become realities. Discussion questions will then come about that will promote changes to activate the true culture of leadership that God expects. There is an expectation for God, from God rather, to have leadership in the church. And these questions come to mind, which I want to leave with tonight. Number one is, how important is leadership as a leadership body to the church? And why is it important that every commission exists with a leadership body? Number two, what happens when a commission doesn't have a functional leadership body? Number three, does God deal with a body of people that doesn't function with leadership? Number four, if leadership is important for function sake, what can and should the church do to develop leaders? And then number five, what does the Bible teach us about God's expectation for leadership? You know, I'm posing these questions because the Spirit of God has prompted us in this dispensation to develop true leadership. And God is eradicating the counterfeit in our lives, influence, just mere influence, to get real answers out of us. My charge to you ministers of the gospel, very much so, is just not to highlight, as you know, all year we teach about leadership and biblical intelligence and various forms of issues that address our responsibilities to this sacred vocation. Well, my prayer tonight for you, simple. I've read you a couple of notes that I've had on leadership for some time, just highlighting some interesting. But my prayer for you is that God would awaken you to the imperative of being devoted to his word and reproducing after his kind to see his results. I want to remind you of one passage of scripture, Matthew chapter 25, 14 through 30. It reads like this. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to the several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received the 1 went and digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also said to also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast sown, and gathering where thou hast strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should receive my own with assurance. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath it shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which ye have. And ye, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The scripture lets us know in this particular passage that God has an investment. Now, if you look at the talents as $1, $5, $1, $2, and maybe $5, you're not getting the grasp. It was $100,000 $100,000 per 1 talent, and about $500 for the 5 talent. God had entrusted those as to their sovereign abilities. God had gifted these men to produce at least double for what they were given. They were entering into a form of leadership. God recognized their ability. He authorized them to go produce. And those that had the money with more quantities did more things to at least double it. And the one that had the opportunity to double his increase chose to operate by fear and to observe things out of his sphere of influence and hid what God told him to develop. He was not driven by his spirit to produce after his kind. And he was shunned to outer darkness because he refused to be driven by what he knew was right. The ability was in him to reproduce at least what he had, if not more. But his perception prevented him from entering into the joy of the Lord. I believe we're in a season in a dispensation of judgment where if we do not understand the purposes of leadership, we will get into that same perspective that causes our attention to be distorted with irrelevant and erroneous claims that prevent us from truly producing what God expects of us. Let's build leaders in the church. The best way to do it is to hold the authority of God's written word. For truly, in this dispensation, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It says the opportunity on this study to deal with the authority of leadership, to deal with even more wide influence is a counterfeit to true leadership. Thank you for listening to tonight. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do because we're just here. That's within you and even within the world. This is Long Bill and Founder of Urban Glory Campaign. I pray I provoked you here that just this minute part of leadership to where we're going next year. I'm setting up a platform that's going to take us above and beyond in the Word. Father, I pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would permeate the beings of your precious servants that commit themselves to this sacred vocation. I pray that the anointing of God would empower their thought lives to be brilliant thinkers, to have a heart for effort, to have abilities to serve, a willingness to sacrifice without recognition, and a love to commit themselves regardless of transitional. I pray that you would give them a greater revelation that would help them be spiritually, systematically, skillfully, and sacrificially, and socially developed. Father, show them your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening to tonight. More to come on the next broadcast. God bless you and good night. Bye-bye.